Well, of course, the immediate need is for the Iraqi security forces to stabilize the situation. Iraq has large security forces of its own. To do that, they've got to work in cooperation with all the authorities in Iraq, including the Kurdistan regional government. It's really a time for unity and cooperation. And I think these events have massively underlined the need for that. Iraq has needed that for some time, for Shia, Sunni, Kurds to work together to face this kind of threat.
No, but they don't want to work together, do they? They want to kill each other, or at least one lot wants to kill the other lot.
Well, they do have to work together. I think this is what is very clear. This is what
I'm saying.
Saying
so isn't going to make it happen.
Well, saying so might well help it happen, because it's a message from the whole of the world, and not just a message from us. It is not just a voice on the line saying this is what you need to do. The evidence is there for all to see of what happens in the absence of that, and that it leaves an opening, a political opening as well as a military opening, for extremists of this kind. So there is a very heavy responsibility on Iraq's leadership to tackle this, but that does not mean that nobody else should help at all. Of course, there are ways in which we can help. Over the weekend, we announced humanitarian assistance for people displaced in the north. I've said that we might be able to help with counterterrorism expertise.
Meaning?
We're looking at that now. Well, I don't want to go into the details of that because, of course, that then makes it more difficult to operate.
But, all right, but would
counter-terrorism
we...
expertise?
Might we consider using air power in some form?
We're not planning a military intervention by the UK in this situation. Of course, the
not planning to doesn't mean we wouldn't consider it, does it?
Well, I say that because, of course, so many situations can arise in the world that we cannot predict, that to absolutely rule all things out in all circumstances tends to be a mistake. But in this situation today in Iraq, with what we've seen in recent days, are we looking at a British military intervention? No, we're not. I can't be clearer than that.
The reality is, of course, that even if you were, the House of Commons wouldn't let you. We've had evidence of that, of the Syrian vote last year.
Well, we did have the bad experience, yes, of being defeated in the House of Commons. So I don't think anybody should conclude from that around the world that the House of Commons is never prepared to authorise military action. But, of course, there was that defeat for the government, and it was very serious. Yes, we have to take note of that. I think there will be other circumstances at other times. But in any case...
I mean, give me an example. How do you mean? Because a lot of people took that to be a very clear message from the House of Commons to the government, to governments, that in future we're in charge.
I'm not saying the House of Commons would not have to approve military action. I'm saying that there would be circumstances when it would. I think it would be a misreading of Parliament to say from that they would never do so under any circumstances. But again, we can't anticipate those circumstances. You and I know, since we discuss the instability of world affairs on a regular basis in many parts of the world, we don't know all the situations that will arise. But my point in any case is that the United States is much more likely to have the assets and capabilities for any outside intervention than the United Kingdom. But I stress again that Iraqi security and political leadership is of paramount importance in these circumstances.
Right. Do you accept now, you voted for in favour of the invasion, along with many others, the invasion of Iraq in 2003, do you accept now that that was not only a mistake, but a catastrophic mistake?
No, I don't think the invasion itself was a mistake. I have always thought that many mistakes occurred in the aftermath of the invasion, and that's why...
But that makes the invasion a mistake, doesn't it? Because if you invade without having a plan for what you're going to do afterwards, that is a catastrophic error on every single conceivable level, isn't it? You don't attack a country, you don't invade a country without knowing what you're going to do if you win.
Well, no, I don't think that follows logically at all.
Really?
It's entirely possible to say that it was the right thing to remove Saddam Hussein, but that mistakes were made in the aftermath of that. And now, as you know, there is an inquiry that I long pressed for in opposition, taking place, which we hope will report fairly soon. And so I think in government we have to reserve our judgment for that, for the result of that inquiry. But I do think it's an interesting debate that we've seen in the media the last few days, where, of course, it's possible to argue that Western intervention makes these problems worse, and it's possible to argue that the absence of Western intervention makes these things worse.
Well, you've got
foreign policy is the fine judgment between those things, and I think the truth about intervention is that It is only right when it's a last resort, when it has either limited objectives or where there is a very comprehensive plan working with regional and local leaders to go with it. And that is the aspect, therefore, of the Iraq operation.
Well, precisely.
And you, of which I have always been most critical.
Precisely. And you have your colleague Boris Johnson, possibly your future leader, who knows, saying this morning that the Iraq war was a tragic mistake. And by refusing to accept, refusing to accept this, Blair, and by implication everybody who supports supports Blair on this, is undermining the very cause that he advocates. And what you have just been talking about, in other words, the possibility of serious and effective intervention. Until you say, yes, we got that wrong, you can't move on from that point.
Well, I very openly say, as I've just been saying, there will be many things there that we got wrong and that we have to learn from. As I say, I pressed for a long time the last government to set up this inquiry. If they'd set it up when I first asked for it, it would have reported long ago. As it is coming soon. I think much the best thing in government is to await the results of that inquiry.
Well, we're not going to get the full results, are we? that's one of the things.
In any case, I don't think this entire business should be seen through the prism of Western intervention or not. There are other major forces at work here. The growth of sectarianism in the Middle East, rivalry between different states in the Middle East, the rise of religious intolerance, which are not necessarily provoked or subdued by Western intervention. We shouldn't see this whole situation just through terms of our own actions. There are other major forces at work. And that means we have to work with moderate forces in the Middle East. We have to work with those who will be inclusive and not be sectarian in their behaviour, whether we intervene or not.
You must have been a bit embarrassed that with a full-blown crisis in the Middle East, you were in all the papers being photographed with Angelina Jolie, and no one suggesting that rape, which is what that meeting was all about and the conference was all about, isn't a massive cause for concern. Obviously it is. But it did look as if you were a bit starstruck, and it did look as if it was a bit of a diversion from what really mattered.
Well, anybody who thinks that should have been there, you should have come along to it. This was a very important summit,
well,
which
nobody
is partly
disputes
about
that.
Conflict. Well, I think there is a hint in what you're saying, disputing that. This is about conflict prevention. It brought together most of the world. We're not going to solve conflicts of the many sorts we debate on this program unless we address these appalling crimes. The idea that you can never deal with long-term issues because there's always something short-term in the news, I always find rather ridiculous.
Well, it rather depends who you're dealing with.
10 to 20 things a day at the Foreign Office. And in any case, the meeting we had with Secretary Kerry and other meetings about Iraq were able to take place because we were holding a summit that all of those ministers attended.
Yeah, but you must have known.
With respect, I think the basic question is has less basis than most of the highly intelligent questions.
Well, almost kind of you say so, but you must have known that the pictures in the papers were going to be of you with a very beautiful, very famous international superstar. You must have realised that was going to be the case, and that's why I suggested, a bit timidly, admittedly, that it a bit embarrassing for you.
We're trying to change global attitudes all over the world, which governments alone cannot do. And foreign policy today involves working with different people outside government, NGOs, civil society, people who can reach people who never listen to governments. We're trying to effect a change in the attitudes of the entire world so that the terrible violence meted out to vulnerable people, particularly women all over the world, can be brought to an end or can be greatly diminished. And I think we should make those alliances to do that. And we don't stop doing that work because we're dealing also with the crisis of the day. We're entirely capable in the British government of doing both.
William Hague, thanks very much indeed.